We're going to take your questions this hour with our special guest, Chris Pennis, author of Dancing with Islam's Assassins. We'll be back with Chris in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I will agree with you, Chris, as you write in your book, Dancing with Islam's Assassins, that the true danger now is the smuggling, if it hasn't occurred already, of any kind of nuclear weapon into the United States.
Yeah, you know, just tonight, at the 5:30 news, Campbell Brown said, she said that this nuclear dirty bombs are being, you know, are missing. There was 87 of them missing in the last 45 days. But, you know, one thing about my book, Dancing with Islam's Assassins, it's written in three parts. One is Dancing with Islam's Assassins offers the introduction to, you know, the radical Islamic, mm-hmm. the way they think. But the second part is a biblical perspective on modern Middle East, or you might say prophecy. And the third part is trying to teach the people in America how to protect themselves when we get hit with these dirty bombs. So now, it's gas masks and things like that, you know.
Well, you know, we've been trying to alert people for years to be prepared, to have some kind of preparedness program in place. You know, and there are a number of cities that we had talked about well over a year ago that these radicals would love to target. The problem is, Chris, is it a matter of not if, but when?
Right. But you know, here's the thing is that we've got something before us, and I don't want to keep hitting Ahmadinejad, but he set the pace within 2 years. So that was 2005. This is 2007. Either he'll go or he will have greater power, and if he does take over, then we've got a real problem. We've got to take him out. The Israelis have to take him out, and right now, I mean, it's on President Bush's and Tony Blair's, you know, desk, you know, to take him out.
Look, I think that if a leader of a country says that...
And listen, we've got troops right now in Iraq if we needed boots. You know,
oh, you can't send boots into Iran. They've got millions of soldiers. They'd annihilate our ground fighting forces just by stepping all over the place. There's too many of them. Look what they did when they fought Iraq. They sent kids to the front lines with guns, for crying out loud. You can't go in with ground troops in Iran.
But listen to this. You know, we need to tell our congressmen and our senators and even our president is that we need to tell them to bottle up the Persian Gulf. The Iranians have oil and gas, but they don't have any refineries to refine it. So 40% of their gasoline and diesel is being processed outside of Iran.
So what are you saying?
So what I'm saying is we can stop this by bottling up the Persian Gulf.
We're not going to stop it, Chris, because we want to use it. That's the problem.
I know what you're taking me back to. Back in the old days, Britain did the very same thing. They came right into, they had the opportunity to come over and strike oil in the Middle East, in Iraq, and so forth, back in 19 South, we're doing the Balfour, and all of the events that took place, and what do? They wind up in the same place that we are in Iraq, having problems with the Medes, or we might say the Kurds, which were the past Medes in history.
Well, the Brits should have...
And the Sunnis and the Shiites.
Look, the Brits, we should have watched the Brits. The Brits should have stayed out of Afghanistan in the Middle East back in the 1800s, and they didn't. And look at the mess it put them in.
But what was the reason that they went over there? It was greed for oil.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So that's the name of the game. And I said, now what's in the news line? Halliburton is going where?
Dubai.
Dubai.
Goodbye. He's going to Dubai. But look, if you bottle up the Middle East, you've then got China.
Not the Middle East. Just bottle up the Persian Gulf.
Well,
just...
yeah, but you've got China that is relying on oil from the Middle East. I mean, then they're going to get brought in on this. This is going to be worse than you can imagine. We're looking at end times if something really gets out of control.
Do you know what it says in Revelation? It says the kings of the East are going to come down and get in the act, too.
Let's take some calls. You ready?
I'll do my best.
I know you will. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yes. Hi, George.
Hi.
This is Ron. I'm calling from Santa Clarita.
Okay, Ron.
I have several points to make. I'll make them real quickly. First of all, there'll be no peace there in the Middle East until Christ comes back. That's the bottom line.
Second,
the Islam is an imperialist religion, and it was an imperialist religion from the start. When Muhammad's message was not accepted, he decided to go out and start assassinating people. Then when that started working, he picked up the sword and took his message by the sword. Islam is an imperialist religion. Christianity is not. It was never spread by the sword. It was spread by word of mouth. And you had to either accept it of your own free will or not. And if it wasn't accepted, the apostles walked on and went to another place. It was never forced on anybody for 700 years. And finally, when Islam came to power and started taking this message by the sword, we finally rose up in defense of ourselves. And this nation better get a clue that right now we need to defend ourselves and defeat this imperialist power once and for all. And until this imperialist power is defeated, we will have no peace on this planet, because it's after the Hindus, it's after the Buddhists, it's after the communists, it's after the secularists, and it's after everybody that doesn't agree with it.
Well, Chris, I would guess you would agree with him.
Well, he sounds like a good preacher to me. He needs to get over there in the Middle East, start preaching. Man, you know, crusades are the greatest thing. When I had a crusade in India, and over 40,000 Muslims came to Jesus because of one miracle. They saw a little dead boy that was resurrected. I didn't even know he was out there dead. But when I said, raise your children up and let God bless them, and this little boy got an infusion of life. And 40,000 Hindus came to Christ that night.
I think, though, Chris, there's just too much hate on this planet, and we need as people to reverse it, or none of this is going to work. We can't nuke the whole planet to try to eradicate this.
Dr. Billy Graham writes with hope, God's judgment is conditional. The horsemen are riding to warn us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. We just need more of God and less of this world. But yet, we cannot neglect the threat out there. And that's what Dancing with Islam's Assassins is all about. It's trying to tell the people, in case there is a nuclear strike, then if there is, well, this is how you can take care of yourself.
Can we really do anything if there's a nuclear strike?
A dirty bomb. Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, when the Middle East rely on suicide bombers to go in there and fight, well, they're at the end of their arsenal. They don't have anything else to fight with, and so the point that I'm making is this is what they're trying to do, and the reason we wrote this book, as I said before, is trying to inform the people and to awaken the people. From the fact is that the Muslim faith, what it's all about. We want to try to save Muslims even in here that need, that really never knew the truth. Let me give you an example. One of your sister, Lebanese convert to Christianity, was on one of my friend's shows, and she was informing us that the Saudi Arabian dollars are going into Yale, Harvard, and all of our colleges, and with strings attached. And they put in, and that is that they have to accept their professors that are intelligent public relations men and specialists who work with the imams and the mosques to rise up against any speaker that would oppose the Muslim agenda. So we're in a situation that these guys are brainwashing our kids, trying to lead them to the Muslim faith. Let's be very, very truthful about it. Hamas and Hezbollah is right here in America.
Always were.
And listen, some of my closest friends are Arabs. Not only did somebody say, I've had there's like Jad Mikhail, all these men, they're so close to me and around the world. And I'm not trying to take sides, but the point I'm
trying. Yeah, but they're not hate mongers, are they?
No, they want peace. But you see, the problem is, look, when it starts moving, this whole world is racing to an end. And I mean, we've got all kinds of things coming this way, that way, and another way. And what I'm saying is, we need to take heed and listen to what if somebody has something to say. Let him tell his story, and then, you know, it's up to them. It's like as I said about that three messiahs down there. There's trouble out there. You know, General Sun Tzu was a Chinese general, and he said, "Know your enemy, know yourself, and you'll fight 100 battles." So we need to really know what our enemy's doing out there.
I don't think anybody in our military has read The Art of War, honestly. If they have, they're not practicing it.
Well, you know, when suicide bombers are beating us down and we're losing the war, there's something wrong. And so the point is that I want to make is this, is that we need to come back and to realize that, and I want the American people to know that it's been documented 85% of all the IEDs that have killed Americans in Iraq were imported from Iran. And so the point is our enemy, you know, is not only Iraq. Sometimes I think we should have really went to war with Iran instead of Iraq.
Look, what happened to the Iraqi military? They took off their uniforms, they put on their civilian clothes, and they just walked out into the population. And now they're coming back, too. They're coming back as insurgents.
Not only that, they're coming back as generals in the army, in the Iraqi army.
That's right.
You know, now look at this. They had the Sunnis and the Shiites are having all this trouble. Look at the Kurds up there. They're not having any problems. You don't see any fighting going down. Nobody is saying anything about the Kurds in the news. I mean, they say the Americans are the best friends we ever had.
First-time caller line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm Buckingham, Virginia.
Hi, Donna. Go ahead, hon.
My only son's two boots are already 15 miles outside of Fallujah right now, and I've spent a lot of time following and researching this whole thing. I wholeheartedly agree with your guest about the threat that Prime Minister Ahmadinejad presents. However, my questions to him are, with the youthful population, which is in the majority in Iran, openly protesting and burning his pictures literally in front of his face during public appearances, would it not be more effective to acknowledge that and support the youthful population? And I want to stress youthful because they'll probably hopefully be around longer to support and address their concerns, primarily about economic issues and along with other things. My second question to him would be, you know, as far as what Israel's plans are, because I did see that broadcast with Glenn Beck. Let the Israelis, if they're going to do something, we can't stop them. Why can't we let them be the aggressors if it comes to that? And as an absolute last resort, we already have at least two fleets in the Persian Gulf. And the suicide bombers, by his own comments, are the end of their own arsenal. They're essentially aiding our own cause in that respect.
Well, I agree with you, the first one, and I understand that the CIA is doing everything that they can to promote, to continue to promote the youth to react. And there's 75% of them that you're talking about, Ahmadinejad, is that correct?
Yes, Prime Minister Ahmadinejad, they're openly protesting and burning his picture right in front of his face during public appearances and speeches.
That's pretty gutsy.
Yes, it is. And wouldn't it be more effective to support the youthful population that has the guts to do that?
Well, that's what the CIA is doing.
Support it.
Most Iranians, if you talk to Iranians in this country, most Iranians in Iran would favor a Western form of government and democracy.
Yes.
They had a taste of it a long time ago. They don't want these mullahs there.
That's right. Well, it's real dangerous. That was I agree with you, and I also agree with your second question, and the third question I didn't completely. I forgot what it was.
Well, let's move on because we got people calling like crazy, and let's go to our wild card line. Hi there,
George.
Yes, sir.
This is Ron in Oklahoma City. Yeah. I'd like to make several points quickly. First, I have to wonder if the real reason we aren't going into Iran is the same reason we went to Iraq. The fact that Iran is moving out of the dollar, will only accept euros for oil or euros in trade, no dollars period allowed in Iran for any reason, for any trade after the 21st of March. Texas Congressman Ron Paul, Republican congressman, has said that he believes that the Bush administration will stage a Gulf of Tonkin-type false flag attack as an excuse to attack Iran. And I agree with you. I have talked with Iranians in this country. They do not like this guy. They wonder who he is working for, Ahmadinejad, British intelligence, whoever. He seems to be stirring up a lot of trouble. But I think there's a lot more to this than what meets the eye.
There always is, you know. And
I think you've made a very valid point.
The old saying, follow the money, Chris.
Yeah.
That'll take you to places you might not want to go.
Don't forget Dancing with Islam's Assassins. It's at Amazon.com.
Chris, we're going to come back in just a moment. We'll answer some more calls, but I think we can squeeze one more in before the break. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
This is Karen from St. Louis.
Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
I've never called your show before, but I think it's real important that I call tonight. Not to be disrespectful to your guest, by no means, but, Chris, you know, you say you're a Christian, but, you know, you seem to breed as much hate in just your whole input tonight, passive-aggressively, of course, but is some of the callers tonight. I lived in Iran for several years. My father was in the military. He worked for General Dynamics when the Shah was in power. And when the Shah lost power and Ayatollah Khomeini took over, we were living over there. And there's just some real points I'd like to make. First of all, I've been to Iraq. I've been to Lebanon. I've been everywhere. And during that time and later, some things that people in the United States need to understand is, first of all, the media does not cover exactly what's going on over there. When we were in Iran and we came back from Iran, we were surprised to find out that half the United States didn't even know. They were clueless until the hostages got taken, basically. The other thing is you need to keep in mind is, and I've lived over there, I know this is a tribal country. Most of these people can't even read. You're seeing a small, small percentage, people that are getting on the television, you know, people that live in Tehran, you know. But this is a tribal country. This is a country that has been, you know, backward for many, 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 many years. And they're scared. They're frightened, just like the Iraqis. They're terrified. And you know what? Do they support a Western civilization? You bet. But when you get on and you say, you know, well, all of Muslims wrong or the Islamic faith is wrong, you know, and they're imperialists and all that, you know, you are breeding as much hate as the last three callers that have came on, you know, saying that Christianity is this and Christianity is that. Because you know what? It's not, I'm a Christian.
All right, Karen, we got to take this break. But you got your points. Thank you. We'll be back. A few more weeks to go, and that'll be it for the After Dark Newsletter's free CD offer for you, the double CDs, Art Bell's interview with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms and demons. Call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online, pick up After Dark, and get the two shows by going online at coasttocoastam.com. And we'll take final calls this hour with our guest, Chris Penos, author of the book, Dancing with Islam's Assassins. All right, Chris, if you had the ability to do whatever you needed to do out there in the Middle East, what would you do?
You know, I'd like to say that I apologize that I didn't show more love during this broadcast, but we don't really preach hate, but we do preach self-defense. And the psalmist said, ye that love the Lord hate evil. So that was the point that I was trying to make.
All right, what would you do, though, out there in the Middle East? Is there an answer?
Well, the problem, the reason there's no answer out there is because of the fact is that their mindset is that they're going to conquer the world through Islam. And the moderns will jump on board, you know, if they see it successful, because that's their faith. And so there's no way that I do think that we could maybe prolong the war, because we know, you know, and I know, bottom line is that China, Russia, all the Middle East is coming down to Israel. And there's going to be a great war or Armageddon. And so that's the bottom line. Now, the only way, this is not bad, it's good, because the fact is the Prince of Peace will come and step in there and save the Israelis, because he'll show them that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and this is what it's all about. And it doesn't sound right. You can't put it on paper and make it. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he is the real answer to real unity and peace for the whole world.
Well, if he's going to come down and bail out the planet, he better do so pretty darn fast, Chris.
Well, it's winding up pretty fast. Really, and I think that this guy, even though this Ahmadinejad, we kind of, hit him on the head so many times, I think he's an antichrist, not the antichrist, but an antichrist to rapidly stir this whole Muslim faith to head for Israel.
Yeah, but it wasn't the way, but he's just a pawn in a puppet's game. He comes onto the scene late. I mean, where's the quest to get bin Laden? He's the guy that created all this horror for us.
Yeah, even as you said, if he's still living,
who knows?
And so the point is, if you look at it, the Saudis, they have promoted through the Wahhabi, religious things. They have created a lot of monsters too, through money, and just like in our universities. And so everybody is trying to win the world and put them in Islam or get all the money in their pocket. So it's greed on every, side of the fence.
I'm really not sure, Chris. I'm really not sure if we want to get bin Laden. Part of me believes that there are some, even in this country, who are glad that he's out there doing what he does. Part of me believes that,
well,
we trained him, we funded him, we know that's true. I don't know. There's part of me thinks that, because he's out there, they're able to create their own agenda as well.
Well, of course, the old saying is, for years, that when there's war and the land is cheap, that's when you buy it. And all of these wars have been created over the years for those who had the money to be able to do it.
What do you think of Halliburton wanting to move its corporate offices to Dubai?
I think that is one of the things, the greatest, something we should watch very carefully.
We should yank their contracts immediately.
I think that, I don't know about yanking their contracts, but I think that the whole world needs Jesus Christ. And I like what... It's just coming to an end so fast, and I wish I could just tell everybody that whosoever shall call. I was just talking to a young German manager at Bank of America the other day that came from East Berlin, and so 4.5 years ago, now she is a manager of a Bank of America in Houston, Texas. And as I was sitting there talking to her, for some reason, I just asked her, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And she told me, she said, well, in our country, we don't believe in any God. And so after talking for a few minutes and explaining to her what happened, why Jesus died on the cross, Mohammed didn't die on the cross, I didn't die on the cross, Billy Graham didn't die on the cross, only Jesus Christ died on the cross.
Well, I don't know. According to this Discovery documentary, maybe he didn't resurrect.
But Jesus did resurrect. And because
how do you,
we have...
How do you know that?
Well, we know it because we believe it by faith.
Oh, okay.
I've just wondered, are you Catholic or...
Yes, no, I'm Catholic, Roman Catholic.
Roman Catholic, yeah. Well, you know, it's just like anything else is, we believe by faith, according to the Scripture, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I can tell you of myself that I was a pretty bad guy. I was a good Greek boy, but I wanted to become rich. But one night I was driving home after finishing one of my subdivisions. I was a builder in Houston, and I'd been drinking, and I drove into a bio off Post Oak Road, broke my nose and jaws four places, and they rushed me to the hospital, and I was lying there bleeding to death, and suddenly I see this black devil. He's not red. He was black like one of these refineries, you know, that explode.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes was white, and his eyes was black. And he said, Chris Pennis, I've saved you to where you could become a millionaire just like your cousins. And, of course, one of them's a billionaire now. And the other one is a millionaire. He went on, he died, went on to be with the Lord. But nevertheless, I was bleeding to death. Then suddenly there was a light that came into that room. And it was so strong that all of the darkness just dissipated. And then I heard this voice. Now, I was so illiterate, George, that if this voice would have told me, Chris Pannis, I've saved you, so where you can go and preach the gospel. Now, if he would have said gospel, you'd have lost him. But he spoke in the Greek tongue, and he says, Echo Kalesina Kirikis to Evangelio. Says, I've called you to preach the Bible, Evangelio. And instantly, I was saved. And, George, I drank, I chased women, I gambled, I did everything you could think of. But from that moment on, and I was 27 years old, I'm 72 right now. And I'm still going on for Jesus.
All right, west of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi there. Hello?
Yeah, this is Bob. I have a question for your guest
here.
Well. He's supposed to be a Christian and a pastor, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, he's saying something about overthrowing the Iranian leader. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, 80% of the people in this country despise Bush and Cheney. Do we overthrow them, too? Most important question is, why are we over there in the first place? What's the one reason, the one and most important day that is supposed to be this country while we're over there? What is that? Explain that to me. I would like to listen to his question, why we're over there.
All right, what's your take, Chris? Some will say oil.
So you're asking me the question now?
Yeah.
And why are we over there?
Some will say oil, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I think that's the root of the problem.
Yeah. Me too. Me too.
But I don't think that I said that I wanted to overthrow him. I just said that I agreed with what the prime minister said, and I do agree that something needs to be done about Ahmadinejad. And I don't even know that so many people saying, you know, have made the statement that he's finished. This if he's not finished, George. You know that there's more to it than meets the eye.
Couple more callers. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, this is Greg calling from San Diego.
Sure, Greg.
I have a scenario of a kill zone triangle of Azerbaijan, Israel, and Pakistan. And the reason, by the way, it's 1,000 miles on each side. Perfect for intermediate missiles. But the reason I say Azerbaijan is because all the oil eggs are in one basket right now in Baku.
Mm-hmm.
The Caspian oil, the oil that the communists were sitting on closest to Western markets, due to the insurgency in northern Iraq, if they took out that city, gas would quickly go to about $5 a gallon, and there would be more Americans dying from the crime rate than it would be on 9/11. Now, Christianity is pretty much off the burner, off the radar in the Middle East. So Israel is really the only enemy that's left, and they have the gloves off. They're ready. And, of course, Pakistan has the nuclear missiles, and it's a pan-Islamic mindset, just like OPEC. If one has them, they all have them. The only question is the spark. So if you use World War I as a model, there was a period of time out of view when they plotted to kill the Archduke, and then in Sarajevo, when the assassination occurred, you could look at it as geographical spark, and then the kill zone, which is away from the spark. But that's the triangle that I see. And the reason that we're in Iraq is because our system doesn't work unless energy prices are based on supply and demand. Oil can control communism and capitalist democracy. And when the president says freedom, it's just a catchword for our system, which doesn't work unless energy prices are based on supply and demand. And they haven't since 1973, when the Arabs got the pricing power away from the Western oil companies.
Well, Greg, I think you're pretty perceptive.
I think so, too.
Yes. Well, the beast was born before the Second World War. The British came over from Iran and found oil, and then word quickly spread here. The competition began between U.S. and British oil interests to establish the concession from the Bedouin tribe that had the most oil, and that was the Saudis, the Wahhabis. We won because we basically had a family reunion of the old Standard Oil monopoly, which was broken up here. The big one went out over the small. That became Aramco, the Arabian American Oil Company.
Greg, you're good. Where'd you learn all this?
I read a book called Oil, God, and Gold by Anthony K. Brown, which is no longer in print.
I tell you, you ought to reprint that and get it back on and get on George Norrie's show.
They probably took it out of print on purpose, Chris.
Well, it may have became, a bestseller, and sometimes people really have something that's valuable, and they just don't pursue it.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes,
for
sir.
Your guest, the question, does your book address the fate of a moderate Muslim who does not go along with the extremists? Are they not worse than the infidels? Will they not be destroyed as fast or quicker than the infidels in the process of the world campaign?
No, I don't really touch that subject, but the...
Where'd you go, Chris?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Oh, you ended it right there.
Right.
Okay, I heard you say but, and that was it.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
That's all right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Basira in the greater Houston metropolitan area.
Hi, Basira.
My question for Mr. Panis is... why does he not include these references to Islamic scripture in your sermons, speeches, and interviews, such as regarding the religions of other than Islam? The Quran says, to you be your way, and to me mine. And regarding the issue of who is the Messiah, the Quran refers to Jesus, the Son of Mary, as the Messiah. Do you ever include that information in your scriptures, the references to those scriptures in your sermons?
No.
Your interviews?
The only thing that I preach on is Jesus Christ and him crucified on the cross. Are you Muslim yourself?
She's on hold listening on a radio.
Oh, sorry.
Where were you going with that?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I was going to go and... talk to her about the Quran.
I'm not sure she is an expert on the Quran. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, George. Listen, you do an excellent job, George. And I want to thank you for the courage you have to say some of the things you say and to be candid. It's very important at this time. As far as the woman who just called, as far as the Quran is concerned, it just says that Christ was a messenger, and it also, because I spent a lot of time studying the Quran, it also indicates, it says, in one of the, the Qurans or the Sumas, it says, anyone who says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God should be cursed by Allah. So I want to mention that just so that we have the record straight. Now, Chris, if you'd said the title of your book one more time, I don't know what I would have done.
dancing with Islam's assassins, and you hit it at...
Don't jump, Larry. Don't jump.
Okay. In Amazon.com. I don't know. Chris, let me ask you this question. Because there's a lot of disinformation specialists out there, and the real key to knowing whether you've got a disinformation specialist is there's no resilience in their position. That is, no matter what you say, they won't give you an inch. And the reason they won't give you an inch is because they're on the program to promote an agenda. Like when Philip Cross was still alive, the UFO guy.
Yeah.
If you ever heard him speak on the radio about UFOs, this guy wouldn't give you an inch. You could tell him your grandmother and you and your parents and your grandparents were all taken aboard a UFO, and he'd say something that was off the wall. The same thing with Michael, who was it?
Shermer?
Michael Shearer, who was on last week with George. He had Russell Togg on. He had, I think, Dean Radin. And there was nothing that Michael would agree to nothing. That is an indication of a person who has an agenda. There's no resilience to his position. That's the way it is. And that's the way you've been in this whole situation. Every time George tried to turn you to a situation where maybe we'll let the young people take care of it. We'll let this. No, it's got to be this way. It's got to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way, George. Chris. It doesn't have to be this your way. There's always more than one way to solve a problem. That's why we have a yin-yang situation. So why don't you address the fact and tell the public what the real story is that you're a disinformation specialist.
Well, I think that you're right, but I just wrote this one book, and I just all I'm trying to do is talk about this one book. And I don't know about, in the article about the three messiahs, one of the things is that the Muslim faith very really incorporated Jesus because they believed that he was a prophet and said that Jesus will fight and overcome the Dijjal, the Antichrist, and will rule according to the laws of Islam, causing the whole world, Jews and Christians, to embrace Islam.
Well, you know, Chris, I'm afraid if I look into my crystal ball, I'm not so sure this is going to have a happy ending for a lot of us, but we shall see. We shall see. The name of this book is called Dancing with Islam's Assassins, and the author is Chris Panos. Chris's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Hot subject, no doubt about that. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We have got 2 hours of open lines for you. Anything goes. We'll be back.